Colossians chapter 3. We'll be reading a couple of verses out of Colossians chapter 3 for the Thanksgiving sermon. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. So just three verses for us this morning. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. Starting kind of midstream in what Paul is saying here, with verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Brothers and sisters, thankfulness is one of those characteristics that lies at the center, that lies at the very heart of living the Christian life. Thankfulness is found at the very core, at the very foundation of all of our teaching. All of our doctrine relies upon this notion of thankfulness. Every doctrine, every piece of systematic theology that you will ever read, including the Westminster Confession, by the way, which is a doctrinal statement having no less than surgical precision, which still speaks into issues nowadays. Even the Westminster Confession, the larger catechism, the shorter catechisms themselves, have at their foundation this one basic idea that we ought to be thankful to God. It's not as easily ascertained through what's written there, but nevertheless, you get a sense that it is incumbent upon us to show gratitude for God and everything that he's done while reading it and through digesting what it's saying. Thankfulness is also the core of our Christian practice as well. And one of the main reasons why I say that thankfulness is not only the core, it's also the foundation of all of our Christian practice as well, is I'll ask you this: what Christian discipline is there that doesn't require thankfulness? What Christian discipline is there that doesn't at some level require that you be thankful entering into it or being thankful leaving it? I can't think of a single Christian discipline that doesn't require thankfulness to be expressed at some level. I mean, think of it. Prayer requires thankfulness. Bible reading requires thankfulness. Evangelism. You're trying to demonstrate to the unthankful one why they should be thankful to God and why they should glorify him as God. Think of this. We need to be thankful in our Bible reading. We need to be thankful in our fellowship. Again, I cannot think of a single Christian discipline, a single aspect of living the Christian life that doesn't require us to be thankful. It's at the core of our doctrine and practice. Thankfulness is the most basic and foundational attitude that we should have toward each other as well. Have you ever spoken to someone, it doesn't happen as often as it should nowadays, have you ever spoken to someone who, when you're speaking to them, you get the impression as though they are so thankful to talk to you? And have you ever spoken to someone who you are so thankful to talk to them? I mean, it changes the entire dynamic of the entire relationship. When a person that you can kind of perceive is genuinely thankful for you taking the time out to do whatever it is that you would otherwise do to spend time in conversation with them. I can't perceive a circumstance where a relationship like that could possibly fall apart, right? I mean, where you have two people who are thankful to be in each other's company. I mean, to put it this way, you put a Trump supporter and a Biden supporter in the same room together. My contention, call me naive, and I very well may be, but as long as the two are genuinely thankful for each other, and genuinely caring for each other, I don't see how that could ever possibly end poorly. Thankfulness is at the foundation of how we should be treating one another. And I think it needs to be noted that when we think of thankfulness, thankfulness is one of those characteristics for us that needs something outside of us to be thankful for. Thankfulness is something that needs something else outside of us in order to be thankful for. It needs an objective reality to express itself correctly. It's not just the feeling of thankfulness that makes us thankful. In a few hours, we'll be at the dinner table, and perhaps we'll go around saying what we're thankful for. And perhaps there might be one person there who is just generally thankful. Is that really thankfulness? Well, for us, no, there's a little bit more to it. We're thankful not just for the attitude of being thankful, but for actualities in and of themselves. We're thankful for God. We're thankful for other people. We're thankful for actual things outside of ourselves. I can go on for a very long time about this, but you're seeing that thankfulness is a very important Christian practice, very important Christian attitude to have. So what I want to do this morning is, being that it's Thanksgiving, I'd like us to briefly meditate upon this topic of thankfulness with the statement found in your bulletin. Again, brief sermon, perhaps one of the most brief sermons that I'll preach here for us this morning, because we all got turkeys in the oven. Thankfulness is an essential quality that every Christian must have. A very simple statement. Thankfulness is an essential quality that every Christian must have. And to explore this, we'll be looking at this again very briefly with these two basic questions, again, printed in your bulletin. Why should I be thankful? And then how should I be thankful? Why should I be thankful? So the first question, why should I be thankful? When we look at this, we have to say that there are many reasons to be thankful. There are many, many reasons to be thankful. On my way here, I was listening to none other than Charles Stanley, who actually was preaching on a very, very similar question. Why should we be thankful? And he's got, you know, about 16 reasons. I only got three. So, you know, I'm not going to compare myself to that preacher, that giant of a preacher. But I think one of the most obvious answers that that we can give to this question, why should I be thankful, is perhaps, as I said, most obvious, because God deserves our thanks for who he is and what he's done. God deserves our thanks for who he is and what he's done. God is in no need of us. He is in no need of us. He is in no need of any of his creatures. He is in no need of anything outside of himself, at all, for any reason whatsoever. He is exalted above his creation. He is in no need of us. He is in no need of his creatures in order to do anything, in order to satisfy himself, in order to sustain himself, or in any way to help himself. Right? God is in no need of us. He is entirely set apart from us in his being, in his eternity. He's entirely set apart from us in his perfections. He's entirely set apart from us in his infinitude. The more you learn about God, the more you realize he is in no need of us. He is so above us, and so needless is he of us, that his act of making us itself is an act of condescension, and therefore he deserves our thanks. If all he did was just create us, that would make him deserving of our thanks that we should give to him. But we know the gospel, right? We know the gospel. It's a beautiful, beautiful message. We know that that's not everything that he's done. We know that that's not all he's done for us, is just make us, right? He didn't just make us and then just kind of go away and forget about us. Knowing the gospel, he looks upon us as sinners, and what does he do for us? He doesn't stomp on us and move on. He provides for us Christ. He provides for us his own son. God is certainly deserving of thanks for who he is and what he's done. Secondly, we're created to give him thanks. we're created to give him thanks. Thankfulness has been among the intended designs of God's creation. This actually is one of the applications of the book of Colossians that you might not get from first reading it at first blush. But this is one of the reasons why the book of Colossians was written that we just read from just a moment ago. One of the issues going on in the book of Colossians is that there are people there who taught what is called Gnosticism, and there's much more to be said about this. I can speak to you more about this this later in the fellowship hall or outside. But essentially what people were doing there is they taught that the material, tangible world, the created world, was not an intended thing, and therefore it was evil. Everything that you can touch, everything that you can verify with your five senses, the human body, the things that you're sitting on, the bodies that were being taught as though it was an unintended consequence, an emanation of sorts, and therefore it is evil. Now, there's much more to be said about this, but suffice it to say that the teaching there is that Paul is addressing here says that, well, creation is evil. This is one of the reasons why, if you turn back a page, why Paul says what he says about Christ in chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, or the overlord of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, this is one of the reasons why Paul will write things like this. He wants to show to us that creation is an intentional thing, and that our thankfulness to God the Creator is properly an intended expression of his creational design. He did create the human body, and as a matter of fact, he's created us with certain faculties, with certain attitudes woven into our nature. And this is one of the reasons why Paul lists thankfulness in verses 15, 16, and 17 in chapter 3, or gratitude, as a Christian discipline. It is fitting that we should be thankful creatures because God gave us the capacity to be thankful. We're created to give thanks, and to give thanks is to be human, and to be human is to be in the image of God. Thirdly, we should be thankful because we don't deserve any of the blessings that God gives to us. We don't deserve any of the blessings that God gives to us. That's why we should be thankful. We should be thankful that God doesn't give to us what we deserve. We should be thankful that God gives to Jesus what we deserve, and then he gives to us what Jesus earned. Thankfulness is one of the most basic attitudes that God expects of us, because we never deserve the least of any of his benefits, any of his blessings in the first place. This is why grace is called grace, by the way. It's an undeserved favor that is shown to us. All our days, all our hours testify to the mercy of God that he's withheld his rightful judgment upon us. But moreover, he's not only withheld his judgment from upon us, what has he given to us? He's provided for us life. He's provided for us life. He's provided for us the way that we should go, and even giving us his very son to pave that way himself. This is why we should be thankful. So to recap, why should we be thankful? Well, firstly, because God deserves our thanks. Secondly, because we're created to give thanks, right? And then thirdly, because we don't deserve any of the blessings that he's given to us at all. So I'd like to move on to our second and final question for this morning. I told you it was going to be rather brief. How should I be thankful? How should I go about being thankful? Firstly, I don't want to be too simplistic in answering a question like this. How should I be thankful? I mean, we can start by, saying thank you a little more. I mean, it's a pretty basic concept, but adding that phrase to our repertoire, adding that phrase, putting that phrase in the list of the things that we commonly say, I think that's a good start, isn't it? I mean, again, maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm too simplistic, but maybe that's a good start. I mean, it sounds kind of elementary, but I guarantee if I thought of it, then someone needs it, okay? I'm preaching to myself here. Someone needs to hear that. So get used to saying thank you more often. Make it a part of your vocabulary. Get used to saying thank you very often, to the point to where you're almost an annoyance to your neighbor. Say thank you often. Firstly to God, say thank you to God. How many times in our prayers do we rush to our prayer requests without acknowledging and thanking God for God, without thanking God for being himself, right? How many times do we enter into prayer, well, mainly because we need to pray about something, because something bad happened, and what gets left in the dust of our prayers is the thanks that we owe to him, right? What father would appreciate his son calling him only when he needs something? You can kind of get the sentiment. You can kind of get the sentiment here. But we need to thank God for being God. We can thank him for creating us, for giving us our faculties, for superintending us in all of our days, for protecting us, for guiding us, for giving to us his word, which, by the way, is the lens by which we can understand the entire world. We can have a category for thankfulness because of the Word of God, because of the veracity of the Word of God. There's so much to be thankful for. There's so much, even in 2020, there's so much to be thankful for that we will never be able to exhaust it all in a lifetime, much less here. We can also get used to saying thank you more often to other people as well, can't we? We can get used to saying thank you to others as well. I mean, even if you're not the type to do this, even if you're not the type to add the phrase thank you to your repertoire, in doing this, what it does is it creates a thought pattern in your brain. It actually like kind of digs a little groove in your brain by which it will alter the way that you think. So the way that you think about others will change so that you'll become more grateful to them by simply just saying thank you a lot. And the way that they look at you then will be different as well. I mean, have you ever gone to a restaurant and you bombard the server with thanks? You know, thank you for filling up my water. Thank you for giving me my food. Thank you for giving me this extra napkin. Thank you for doing all of this. What happens? Well, you get better service. Because in this instance, like follows like. You say thank you very often. Thankfulness for service will welcome more service simply because of what you say. So get used to saying thank you more often. Secondly, and more elaborative upon our passage in verses 15 through 17, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." Again, right from verse 15, when Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule," what he means in the original language is otherwise commonly in the context of a controller or a judge. It's a very interesting Greek word that Paul uses, one of two times that it's used in the verb in a verb form in the entire New Testament. But what he means about letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts is essentially sort of our version of letting the peace of Christ kind of be the thought police in your hearts, of sorts. He says, in essence, the peace that Christ provides should show you what you should think. The peace that Christ provides should show you what you should think. So when you enter into a conversation with someone, especially at the Thanksgiving table, the peace of Christ that gives you his gospel should joyfully come to bear upon everything that you say and think. That's the sentiment of the original language. When we think God's thoughts about someone, what happens? We tend to have more gratitude about them. When we think God's thoughts about someone, we tend to be more thankful for them. We tend to exercise more gratitude towards them because we think of the way that we think of them in the way that God thinks of them, not as though they're just simply brains with bodies, but because they're real people made in God's very image. This is the logic of the passage, by the way, when he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. On the one hand, he says that first, and then he says, and be thankful. That's the logic of this passage, because we grow in gratitude the more the peace of Christ rules our hearts. And then we get the opportunity to show them how the peace that Christ gives to us impacts how we interact with them, right? We get that opportunity. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And thirdly, think less of yourselves and think of others more. Think of yourselves less and think of others more. I think this is in short supply nowadays. This is perhaps very needed, perhaps now more than ever. But to think of yourself less and others more is to lift the prerogatives and the needs of other people above yourselves, to live in deference to one another and be mindful of one another is what's in view here. This is the story of the gospel itself, isn't it? This is the very story of the gospel of Jesus Christ itself. And Christ set aside his glory for us sinners. What he does is he lays aside his great and right, his prerogatives that are there by divine right. He lays aside his prerogatives for the wicked, for us. This is the story of the gospel. This is also the story of Christian discipleship. In the Christian life, this outward thinking sentiment can be found in each chapter in the book of Colossians. It could be found in each chapter of the book of Colossians. There are many, many references, but I'll give us just a few right here. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, in 2, verses 6 through 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the sentiment that's taught in our passage here in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, and finally in chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. You can see that this is a Christian attitude. Paul urges that they continue steadfastly in prayer, lifting up the prerogatives of someone else above their own with thanksgiving. You can see that this lifting up of the priorities of others is what built the church, and lifting up of the priorities and prerogatives of others is what what will sustain the church till the end of the age. So how should we be thankful? Firstly, by simply saying thank you more often. Secondly, by having the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And thirdly, by thinking of ourselves less and thinking of others more. Thankfulness is an essential quality that every Christian must have. To not have it is a great sin. Read Romans 1, 18 through 21 for proof. Not having thankfulness is a great and heinous sin. So let's celebrate Thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, as an opportunity to show off Christ to our family and friends and be thankful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for you being you. and for you creating us, and for you giving us the capacity to give you thanks and praise. You're deserving of it. You're deserving of more praise than we can give. You're deserving of more praise than all of your creation can possibly give. So, Lord, we thank you for your blessings that you give to us. You shower us with love and mercy and grace. And, Lord, you even give to us a way of expression in this very day to be thankful to you. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless us with the Christian discipline and the Christian fortitude to exercise thankfulness in all the days that you give to us. And we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.